it's really a good portion.
Oh yeah, really.
And I love that in Colossians, how he presents us holy.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? Do you see yourself in that position? Or do we look at ourselves in our condition? What we're about to experience in the day, what our day looks like, what we're going to go through, how my bills look, how things are this, how my business is, what I have to accomplish. Or can we take a moment and see ourselves as Christ sees us? Because that's how he sees you. He sees you in his son. There's no other way he can see you and look at upon us outside of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we are holy. And we are righteous, and we are forgiven, and we have mercy. I mean, all the characteristics of God are poured out to us. Are you guys good, or do you want to stand up, or you want to stretch, or you want to greet each other? Or, are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you awake this morning?
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. All right, so last week, and Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time, for the Word of God. It's so precious to us. And help us to see ourselves in Christ. Help us to have the mind of Christ. The Bible says you can have the mind of Christ, the right thinking, right thought process. We love you this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So last week we ended... we closed, and we didn't spend a lot of time there, but I just did a little recap in Philippians 4:7. It says, where the peace of God that passes all understanding, right, shall what? Shall keep your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ. And that our hearts are kept. And our minds are kept when we, and we talked a little bit about this peace that passes our thinking even. You know, the world tells you how to have peace, how to live in peace. You know, it's a world system, it's a form of peace. But then there's this peace of God, and it passes our thinking. And that's the peace that is able to keep me sane, so I don't go and kill somebody in the day. So I don't react. And remember, reaction is responding to something you don't like. And we are so good at reacting. You ever react? I mean, something falls and we're reacting to it. You know, we start kicking the dog and wait, get out of the way. You know, we're very good to blame others. We're very good at reacting, and somebody better not react to my reaction, because I'll counter react, and then it gets way out of control. And what just happened to our peace? It gone. Yeah, so quickly. So quickly. But this is a peace that passes all understanding. And what we do in it is we must learn to step in that. We want to step in this peace, because Ephesians 2:14 says God is peace. So I'm stepping into that. I'm not stepping into any other thing but stepping into Christ. The verse before in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious of nothing. And anxiety and stress robs our peace for that moment. But it cannot if we step into Christ. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure we're stepping in to this peace. And now we're going to think not how the world thinks, not how I think, but I'm going to think of what the Bible tells me to be like. And now I start having a relationship of going back and forth, a vertical with Christ. And that peace. So I just want to hit that point. And it's where we step into We step into Christ. And it's the same thing as where we learn to step into the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. As we step into Christ, we're stepping into His love. We're stepping into His joy. We have long-suffering. We have patience. Yeah, you can have patience. We can have gentleness. Do you know that you're gentle? Yeah. You be gentle with one another. I mean, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not our own. It's a gift. God imparts it to us, and that happens when we step into Christ. So this piece of understanding, which we can't figure out and understand, but we can step into it and start to experience it through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that was just a little intro. So turn in your Bibles to Leviticus. Let's preach some law. No. We're going to go to two places today. So, Leviticus 19. Verse 35. Amen, everybody there?
Amen.
It says, "And you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in metayard, in weight, in measure." 36, just balances, just weights, just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. So he's speaking of, and there's two different meanings here, he's speaking of measurements and how we are to measure things. And the one side of this is to make sure that your measurement is just. Don't weigh the scales in your favor so the outcome comes right. And we do that. We do that in our business, in our walk, and everything that we do becomes a measurement, how we are measuring things, how we are looking at things. And he's saying, make sure the weight, the scales are proper. And a metayard was to measure length. A ephah was measuring volume. An ephah was dry volume. And the other were there, a hin, was liquid volume, how we measure different things. So he's covering all types of measurements here. And it's the same thing that we talked about, is how we step into this peace. We are to, the other way is we want to make sure we are stepping into the fruit of the Holy Spirit so we don't measure people right. Measurement is a form of judgment. Mm-hmm. We easily form and make opinions based on measurement. We measure, remember we talked about that, we measure everybody up and down. We look at them, you know. We give them that stink eye, you know. We're making sure, I'm looking at you, I've got you, you know. And we're measuring them, and it could be a false, wrong measurement, which leads to judgment. And we so easily do this in our lives with every aspect. And he's saying, don't do that. Remember, and just like Juan said, I have taken you out of Egypt. And Egypt is a form of world system. And he says, I've taken you out of the world system. And you are to be holy or separate from the world. We don't have, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Yeah. So we're in it, but we're not of it. You know, we function in it, we live in it, we work in it, we make a living in it, but we're not of it. So we must be very careful to make sure our measurements are from righteousness. And a righteous measurement is what we want to look here. So also the other thing here was balances, false judgments. So we're careful on that. Proverbs 11 talks about false balances. False balances are an abomination, but a just weight, a just judgment, he delights in. Great verse, Proverbs 11:1. 11:1 talks about false balances, false weights. So with that being said, let's look at Acts chapter 3. I don't think that goes anything with this man, but no, it might. I don't know. Acts chapter 3, amen?
Amen.
One verse and then we'll cover the story. It says in verse 6, Acts 3:6, it says, "And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I have none, but such I have, such I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" So here's a story of the Bible tells us about a lame man who was lame from birth. And every day people would pick him up and carry him to the gate. And this gate was right before the temple. This was the gate, beautiful. And it was right before the temple. And they would lay him there. And they would position him there as they went in to pray. And I was thinking about that. Why wouldn't you just carry him the rest of the way? Why wouldn't we bring him in to the house of God? And this was something that they did back here three times a day in Psalm 55, verse 7. Three times a day they would come to the temple. So John and Peter were just still doing, even though Christ is raised from, they're doing traditional things by going to the temple and praying three times a day. And this guy would be there. No matter what time of day, he would be there. And it reminds me even of Haiti, that this man would gather what he would need for that day. And God would be faithful to give him what he needed for that day. But this was his life. It was nothing more. It was being dropped off at the same place and hoping somebody. He picked a good place, though, if you think about it. Because men were going in to pray, and maybe their hearts would be touched a little bit, and they'd have a little compassion, and they would give, you know. They would give maybe a little more than they would normal. So he had the spot. He had the place. And in St. Mark in Haiti, it reminded me of this, because every day and very early in the morning, these people are out there already. You could go by at 3 and 4 in the morning, which we do to go to the airport, and they're starting to set up for that day. And they just want to receive for that day. They want their provisions met for that day. And they work hard all day long, trading and selling and buying and sitting there in that sun, that hot. But this is what they do every day. Just to try to make enough, you know, for that day. And that's what they were trying to do. And as Peter and John walked by them, Peter said, "Look unto me." And he still said that with knowing that he didn't have anything to give as far as balance goes, as far as a weight goes. He couldn't give him a coin or anything that would satisfy what he was looking for. And as this lame man looked, it was a look unto money. It was a look unto, are you going to give me something? And it got me to thinking, I mean, what do we look to and for in life? You know, what are we looking for? What is your look? And we all have different things that we look onto for. But again, this wasn't going to be satisfied. Peter didn't have a resource for him, had nothing. But really, he had something even greater. You know, silver and gold I don't have. But I do have something. And you know, we look at this silver and gold, and silver and gold will come and it will go. It will come and go. A lot of ours goes even before it even comes. You know, our check is spent before it even gets there to us. You know, it goes. There's a good Proverbs 23:5. It says, "Riches have wings. Riches have wings. It flies away.
Yeah.
Our money just flies right. You know, just get it out beforehand. You know, it does. It goes so quickly and so fast, and we look at our check and where did it go? You know, where does it go? But he was still there because this is all he knew. And but there was still then a time where he was to look. He would look upon Peter and look upon John with the expectation of receiving something, but that expectation would be filled differently a little bit later. It's going to be filled, but not the way he was looking. And silver and gold is, you know, even though we use it for resources, it should never be your resource. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not your source. Mm-hmm. Some of us make it our source. Some of us make it higher than a resource. Mm-hmm. It's everything. You know, it becomes everything. So with that, we look at this and we ask a question, is your life properly full? Are you full? And if the answer is no, you know, if the answer is no, then we come to the source. We don't do anything to try to increase what we go to the source, and we make him the resource of all. And it's something to do, you know. It really is this form of discipleship where we really start to trust in God. In our Bible college classes this week, and these classes have been intense, but Thursday's class, the assignment is to listen, and it's on our website. It's a Hallmark message from Dr. Stevens, and it's called Beautiful for Situation. And it goes like that. It says, you know, we have so much on our plate and on our minds that sometimes we don't go to the source. And Beautiful for Situations is saying that whatever situation you're in, you can find beauty in it. Even the pressures of life are for a purpose and for a reason. Because in those areas of anxiety and stress and worry and setback and fear, you need God in that situation, number one. But more importantly, God needs you in that situation. And we don't look at it that way. God wants you in that situation. Because in that situation, he's going to be glorified. Whatever comes against us, we find God in it. Because he will never leave us or forsake us. And the Hebrew word there is he'll never, no, never, no, never leave us or forsake us. And sometimes we think he's missing. But God needs you in that situation. Christ will be revealed in that situation. Somehow. He'll be revealed. So if your life is not filled, we come to the source. If your life is filled, if you can say yes to that, then pour it out. Pour out what he has poured in and given you. Become a resource to the source. This is what Peter is going to do. I don't have what you're looking for. I know I do have what you're looking for. I have what you're looking for. You don't know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Because you're in the same spot. And he has received silver and gold all the way up until that time. But nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. He has received before. He has received before, but he is still there. He is still there. So maybe there is something else. Maybe there's something bigger here. You know, God wants to be that source. Gold and silver are temporal. They're a temporal resource. But God is an eternal source. We need to adjust to go to the eternal source, and the temporal will be still filled. Remember, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things, and all these other things, and he just calls them things, will be added unto you. That becomes a promise. That becomes a promise for the believer that the source is so much greater than the resource. But we worship the resource. The resource gives me power. The resource gives me happiness. The resource gives me joy. I have joy when I'm shopping. I like going shopping with my wife. We have fun. So, but that's not, you know, the resource is not, well, it's a temporal, no. It's temporal. And we need eternal. We need eternal things. We need eternal. You know, the word of God is eternal. God's word. The holiness of God will always be eternal. And will we ever know it? We will. We are being conformed to this Christ. And one day, all of that holiness will be poured out upon us. See, but what we do, and in Isaiah 6, and I love that, because after the holiness, and holy, holy, holy is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three times they had to say it, because it speaks of the Trinity. And then right after that amazing holiness, and it said it filled the temple, which means no other space was left but God's holiness. It covered it all. There was nothing that was not occupied with his holiness. Every spot, every place, every area was covered with the holiness of God. And what happened to Isaiah at that time is he started to look inwardly. Because sometimes when we're in the holiness of God, we examine ourselves and examine our flesh. And he did. And he said, oh man, I am undone here. Mm-hmm. I am undone. But then there was an amazing thing that these seraphims, and yeah, that would drop probably all of us to our knees. But one of them went and picked up a coal from the altar. The place of sacrifice. Wow. The place where Christ sacrificed. And he took a coal. And then from that point on, when Isaiah got a glimpse of that, they asked, who shall we send? And he said, send me. Wow. I mean, it's amazing how he went from one point of saying, I am a man of unclean lips, and I hang around unclean people, and everything that I see is unclean, to a place where send me. A complete volunteer. And they didn't say who. It says, who shall we send? And not once in there did Isaiah say, where? Tell me where, and then I'll volunteer, maybe. Hey, why don't you go? I'll pray. You know, I'll pray for you to go. But no. Without knowing, it was okay. This is what the holiness of does to the heart of man.
Yes.
And this is why, where my heart and my mind can be completely cleaned and kept by the power of God. But it comes from the Word of God, because the Word of God is eternal. And we're dealing with eternal things and not temporal things. And this is why he said, store up things that are eternal, Not here. Don't build your barns down here where moth can destroy it. Because this is all temporal living. And it's only for a short period of time. What do you got? You got 50 years left? 60 years left? Maybe? No? That's way too much? Yeah. Some 10? Some 20? Very short. Compared to eternity. Compared to all of eternity. But that word, it says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever. My word becomes eternal, and the eternal covers the temporal. It swallows it up. Because the eternal is what gives us hope, and it's the eternal which gives us faith, and it's the eternal that says that I'm clean.
Amen.
And it's the eternal that says you are forgiven. And we need to hear this. The eternal is what says you're really, really, truly loved. Not temporal love, not false or fake love. You know, not a peck on the cheek, but this amazing, everlasting, eternal love of God that is always drawing us, that drew us when we were enemies with God, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. It drew us when we were an enemy with Him. And it continues to keep us by the grace of God. We are kept. He draws us by His love, and we're kept by His grace. We're kept by the grace of God. So this eternal thing becomes more. But people don't want that. They want a temporal satisfaction, even done through even religion. Religion, to me, is not an eternal. Jesus came against religion. Religion becomes a resource where man goes to make himself feel good. Or feel holy, or feel clean. And it's a self-righteous act. It's a self-righteous motive. I remember going to church, and I remember, you know, beeping at people on the way out, getting out of the parking lot. Get out of the way! I gotta go! You know, I got places to be, you know? I mean, boy, it just, like, changes. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord, you know? You got a bumper sticker on your car. Smile, no. Jesus is watching.
Yeah. You know?
But it's a false worthiness. It even becomes a duty. And that's where I think this man was here. I think his life became just a duty. Yeah, he had situations that were rough. There's no doubt about it. He was crippled from life. And you know, unless you have that, you don't know what that position is in. But I look at the group that carried him, and I think they should have took him a little farther. Let him get with God. Let him pray. Let him find God in this. And that temporal thing that you believe and think you need goes away. Because the source is so much greater than the source. Let him find Christ. And so Peter says, what you're looking for, you know, silver and gold, he comes right out of the gate. Silver and gold, I don't have. But I do have something I think that we all need. And you know what? You still might be here. You might still have to do this the next coming years. But you're going to have a joy in your heart doing it. You're going to know where that provision is coming from. And it'll be a different mindset. So he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And in verse 7 it says he took him by the hand and he lifted him up. And immediately it says his feet, his ankles, his bones received strength.
Wow. Hmm.
Strength from God. This healing miracle. This healing miracle. And I like what happens, and I think the Holy Spirit just puts this in. To finish up this story as we close, he says, and leaping, and he stood up, and he started dancing around, he started jumping all over the place, and what he did is he followed them right into the temple. He could walk now. I don't need to be carried. And that's an amazing spiritual thing. We are never too far away from God, no matter where we're at. This might have been a building, okay? And at that time, the presence of God was said to be in that. But God is right where you're at any place and any moment. And it's not that we have to go in anymore because he's there and he's present and he's with us. And we get to meet him. But he walked in, he went right in with them. And I can imagine all the other ones that dropped them off. What are you doing in here? You know, but they questioned, but it's an amazing miracle. And they all knew who he was. And this later on will stream into these major, major religious problems that Peter and John and the apostles are going to have in the early church. You know, and by the way, this is the church. This is the church. There is some teaching going around that the church did not happen until the apostle Paul came along and built the churches. But if you read just right before this in Acts 2:47, it says, "And God added to the church daily." You know, they want to get into dispensationalism by making times. And I don't know why that matters and why it becomes an issue, but people are making even issues. And this is why we need our Bible. This is why we need this word, even though there could be flaws in it because written by man, but it is inspired by God. The word inspired is God breathed.
Yes.
And God is beautiful in all situations. Every situation, we can find Christ. And we must receive things as new. We must never receive the word of God as, "Oh, I heard that story before." That becomes familiarity, and that drives you away from the presence of God. And we want to be so close, knowing that he is so near, and he is with us. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the provisions that he gives us, and we are blessed with what he does provide as a resource. And every resource he gives, we must be thankful and grateful for. But don't forget the source.
Yeah.
Don't forget God in all of it. Yes. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word.
Yes.
Lord, help us to look upon you. Just look upon you, God. We pray for those that don't know Christ. Salvation's a free gift. Look unto Christ. Look unto him. We thank you for your amazing love, your amazing grace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the holiness of God, the wonderful holiness of God. And we are standing even on holy ground. Holy ground is not a specific place, but it's who's there. And God is there. Lord, we just ask you to bless the offering and the furtherance of your kingdom as we continue to preach your word. We don't want to compromise God's word. We stand on every word of God. We live by every word of God. If there's somebody here also that maybe just comes once a week, I just ask that you get with God. Let him speak to your heart. Come out on Thursday evenings. Draw close to God. We just thank you again. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Raph will start in 15 minutes next door. Get coffee, whatever. What do we have?